Good evening. Welcome to our Bible study. Tonight we come to Daniel chapter 10, where there is a revelation of the spiritual battle going on behind the scenes played out here on earth.
We've been looking at the prophecies of the visions of Daniel. They start at chapter 7, so we've looked at chapter 7, 8 and 9, and we're now looking at chapter 10 tonight. So chapter 10 of Daniel, and this is the beginning of something which continues to the end of Daniel. So 10, 11 and 12 come together as one unit, really. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had an understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as it was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, or the river Tigris, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Do you know why I am come to thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us tonight. And Lord, we do pray that you would lead us and guide us, direct us this evening, Lord, that your word may find its place in our hearts, and that it may be fruitful. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. In the third year of Cyrus, this is towards the end of Daniel's life. He was an old man. And already, at the beginning of the reign of Cyrus, in the first year of the reign of Cyrus, Cyrus gave command, this is the Persian king, gave command for the Jews to return to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. He got an instruction from God. God refers to him as Cyrus, my shepherd. And so the Jews went back, certain of the Jews, in the time of Ezra, and you can read about it in the first chapter of Ezra. They went back to start rebuilding the temple. But it wasn't long before difficult times came upon them, and they were opposed by the people of the land, and the work came to a halt. And Daniel was mourning and fasting. Maybe he'd got news that the work was facing difficulties. He knew himself from the prophecy of Jeremiah, as we saw last week, that this was appointed of God, that after 70 years in exile, the people of God would return. He'd seen that come to pass, but now they were facing difficulties. So Daniel mourned and fasted for 3 weeks. This is the same Daniel that as a young man was brought to Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom in Babylon, whom Nebuchadnezzar named Belteshazzar. And so it stands here, Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, the name of the foreign god, the pagan god. But it's the same Daniel. He's lived from beginning right through to the end of the captivity. And he's mourning and fasting. He has a heart for the people of God. Last week we saw him praying and confessing his sins as the sins of the people of Israel that had transgressed and disobeyed God. And he has a heart for the people of God. He wants to know what God's purposes are for the people of Israel. And God gives him revelation. A revelation that takes us right the way through to the end which has not yet come. So there are things in these prophecies, as we've seen, that refer to the end of time when God will restore the people of Israel back to their land. That's already happened. They're back, but they're not fully restored. They're in a state of spiritual death still. But these things are coming to pass in our own time. A lot of this has its relationship to the people of Israel. We are in the in-between. We are in the age of the church, where the Spirit of God has been poured out, where there is salvation to all who will believe, whether Jew or Gentile, whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is salvation. And we know that Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take out his church to be with himself. But God will again deal with the people of Israel. You read about it in Daniel. You read about it in the book of Revelation. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 24. There it is. And Daniel is praying. And while he's praying, he sees and has a vision. He looks and he sees a certain man. And we look at this description of this certain man. It doesn't say he's an angel, but as you read this and you compare this description with the one in the book of Revelation, you'll find that there is a marked similarity. Look at what it says concerning this man that Daniel saw. He was clothed in linen, his loins girded with fine gold of Uphaz, or Ophir. It was the best gold there was, the finest gold. His body also like the beryl, but that was a semi-precious stone, which had a certain radiance to it. There's all sorts of arguments as to what it actually was. The topaz and crystallite and so on. Whatever those are, it doesn't help me. But I understand that there was a sort of radiance about it, which again fits the vision or the appearance that Daniel saw. His eyes were as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in colour as a polished bronze, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now turn to the book of Revelation, and chapter 1, where John had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he described the vision, this is what he saw. In the midst of the seven lampstands, or candlesticks as it says here, one like unto the Son of Man, it's Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The linen garments that are mentioned later in the book of Revelation, it says it's the righteousness of the saints. And white is associated with the garments that Jesus wore when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. His garments were whiter than any fuller could make them. The second part of verse 14, it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet, doesn't mention his arms, but his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. You see, I believe that Daniel had a visitation here from the Son of God. The Son of God, you must understand, is the eternal Son of God. There wasn't a time when he was not. But in the fullness of time, he came to this world, was born of woman. A body hast thou prepared me, it says in the scripture. concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the body thou hast prepared me. Only Daniel saw the vision. The men that were with him, he wasn't on his own, they didn't see the vision, but there was something that was going on that affected them. And a great quaking fell upon them. They tried to hide themselves. You know, we can have that influence on people in this world today. Men and women who are men and women of God, filled with the Spirit of God, can have an influence on other people. Because we've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. They may not see what we see. They may not have experienced what we've experienced. But we can have an influence on people. Just by our very presence. Because we're filled with the Spirit of God. I do believe that this is the Son of God. You see, Jesus Christ is God's remedy and God's answer for our sin problem. Jesus Christ is the answer for the need of the earthly people of Israel. He is their Messiah. He is our Messiah. He is their Messiah, the anointed one of God. They have not recognized him. They did not recognize him 2,000 years ago. They rejected him. I mean, the disciples were Jewish. They accepted him. As many as believed accepted him. But as a nation, they rejected him. But there's coming a time when they will recognize that Jesus is their Messiah. The Bible declares it in the book of Zechariah. They'll look upon him whom they have pierced. And in repentance. And coming to him in faith. Praise the Lord. Jesus is God's answer, God's remedy for sin. Not only for us, but for all the accusations of Satan, Jesus is God's answer. And it is he who appeared to Daniel here. And the effect on Daniel himself was amazing. Daniel, as I've said before, as we've looked at these studies, you can read nothing bad about Daniel in the book of Daniel. That's not to say he wasn't a sinner, because we've all sinned. He was born in sin just as we were born in sin. But there's nothing bad written about him because he became a man of God. And when we become men and women of God, we're saved by his wonderful grace and filled with his Spirit. We can live lives of holiness and righteousness that are glorifying to him. Not by our strength, not by our power, but by his strength and power. If we fall back to the old ways, if we fall back to the ways of the flesh, we'll be up to our next sin again. So we need to walk in the Spirit, because the Bible says, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a promise there, that there's victory in Jesus all the time. Praise the Lord. And so there's Daniel. And the effect on him is that all his strength, all the strength that he had, all his strength seemed to disappear. All his comeliness, his righteousness and the goodness that people admired in Daniel, it seemed to turn in him to corruption. And he fell before him. And it was as if he was on a deep sleep on his face on the ground. You know, when you look at the book of Revelation chapter 1, when John had that vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? It says, I fell at his feet as one dead. Daniel had no more strength in himself. And we need also to have come to that position to realise that in us there's nothing. Paul said the same thing, didn't he? He said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. But in him we can find strength. In him we can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And it's wonderful, the Lord doesn't leave him there lying on his face on the ground. It says, a hand touched me. He touched me. I heard that song. He touched me. Oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. A hand touched me, set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And these wonderful words of assurance, you know, when God speaks to us and we're his, as Daniel was his. Oh, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Don't we need to know that? Don't we need to hear that?
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father speaking to us,
yes,
and welcoming us as he welcomed the prodigal in the parable with open arms. That we don't feel rejected. We're no longer separated by sin. We've been brought right into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And God says, oh man, greatly beloved. The Lord's saying to you tonight, you're greatly beloved. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the beloved Son. Hallelujah. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the beloved Son, in him, it says in Ephesians, we are accepted in the beloved. We too are beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you. Stand upright and he stood. Fear not, fear not. And tonight there's a lesson here for us. Don't worry. What's the New Testament say? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's in Peter. In Philippians it says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. And there's the exhortation to bring all our requests, our prayers and supplications to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's an encouragement tonight. Listen to what the Lord said to Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard. For I am come for your words. When you pray and you don't seem to get an answer, don't give up. The Lord says to Daniel, from the first day you started, 3 weeks ago, I heard. It's taken a bit of time to get here, but I heard. The Lord hears and answers prayer. And the answer you will get. The answer's on the way. Before you even asked, the answer was there. And the Lord explains to Daniel why the delay. And we need to understand these things too. Because there's a parallel thing going on for us as well. The Lord says to Daniel, I am come, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. 3 weeks. Now, who is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? These princes that are spoken of here in the Bible are angels, angelic powers, angels. Fallen angels. There are angels which fell with Satan at the beginning. There are other angels that kept not their first estate in Genesis chapter 6, and the sons of God took the daughters of men. These are angels. They are angelic or princely powers in the world even today. They seem to have control over certain nations. You think, what's driving nations to such wickedness and evil? There are evil forces, evil powers that work in this world today. Angelic powers. And there is opposition to the things of God, to the things of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, how does that apply to us? In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it tells us how it applies to us. It says this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who do we wrestle against? We wrestle against principalities. There's the word prince again, principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Between heaven, and the Bible does refer to heavens in the plural, but between heaven, where God is, and earth, where we are. In heavenly places, there are satanic powers at work. Angelic, princes of Persia, prince of Grecia, it mentions, and so on. Demons are not fallen angels. A lot of people say they are, but demons are not fallen angels. But it starts in Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they had children by them, and they produced giants, or as it says in Hebrew, the Nephilim. The Nephilim. The sons of God were angels. Sons of men were the daughters of human beings. And they produced the Nephilim, the giants. There were giants in the land. There were giants, it says, the Nephilim. And there was violence in all the earth, no wonder. There was such wickedness, no wonder. And God flooded the earth. And the Nephilim, and those that did not go in the ark, and there were only eight that went into the ark, were destroyed. You can read what happened after the flood. Mankind again rebelled against God. Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and so on. And if you read the Babylonian stories that go with that, it was because they said, God's not going to catch us by a flood again. The Nephilim are spirits that seek bodies to possess. That's why people are demon-possessed. Because they seek bodies to possess. They're not fallen angels. Fallen angels don't need bodies. It's the demons. It's the Nephilim. They're spirits that need bodies to possess. And you listen to what Jesus said about the spirit that's cast out of a man. That spirit that's cast out of a man, he says, will go through the earth seeking dry places. He doesn't want the flood. He's seeking dry places. And then we come with seven spirits more wicked than him and enter that man again. You never find demons in the New Testament manifesting themselves outside of a body. It's always through a body, even animal bodies. Legion, the spirits were cast out, the demons were cast out of the man into the swine. And the swine went down into the sea, into the water. They're always manifested through bodies. They're seeking to possess bodies. That's what they had to begin with. That's what they want now. They cannot find peace. The teaching of the Bible is there. Demons are not fallen angels. Demons are the spirits of the Nephilim that seek to possess bodies. Now, you might have always thought that demons were fallen angels. And demonic powers were that. Demonic powers are the results of what fallen angels did in Genesis chapter 6, which brought the wrath of God upon the earth and the flood. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, an angelic being, evil, but angelic being, withstood me. Now the Bible says in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says this, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. This is what it says. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You've got to understand that this accusation, that the brethren that is accusing, are in the context of this tribulation time. The so-called tribulation saints, but particularly the people of God, the earthly people of God, the people of Israel. He's the accuser of the brethren. You see, he might have a go at accusing us before God, but more likely he'll try to accuse us to us. He'll try to get into your mind and say, you're a rotten old sinner. Because he can't accuse them before God. He can't accuse us before God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, to those who are in Christ Jesus, it says, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But here, before the work of Christ was completed in the Old Testament, and in the tribulation period where that work has not yet been applied to the people of the earthly people of God, to the earthly people of Israel, Satan thinks he's got something to accuse. The prince of Persia withstood the Lord. Why? There's accusation going on. These people, how can you be just God? How can you be righteous God? You're allowing these people to be favoured and all the rest of it. It's all done and completed in the completed, finished work of Jesus Christ, which for Daniel is yet to happen, and for the tribulation people, yet to be fully grasped and appropriated by the people of Israel. There will come the time when they will call upon the Lord and be saved by him. The accusation goes on, but there's coming the time when the accuser of the brethren will be thrown out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now it says here in this revelation that's given to Daniel, that the Lord says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and though Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Michael. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, at the end, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. He is for the people of Israel. If there are principalities and powers, Michael is for the people of Israel. In Jude verse 9, it says that Michael is the archangel. That's the chief angel. And he stood against the devil over the body of Moses. And Michael stood against him and said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Michael stands for the people of God. Michael is a name which means, who is like God? It's a question. Who is like God? In all the accusations of the enemy, in all the satanic accusations, there's one who can say, there's none like God. Who's like God? Who are you to accuse him? There's one standing on behalf of the people of God. Daniel is told that he is to understand, verse 14, what shall befall your people in the latter days? Yet the vision is for many days. At the beginning of the chapter it says it was for a long time. And it's coming now, just now in our time we can see the end coming and these things happening in our time. The people of Israel returned to the land of Israel. It became Israel again in 1948. Israel became a nation, an independent nation, taking the name Israel again as the nation's name, taking and adopting the language of Hebrew again. It had been a dead language for nearly 2,000 years, and they took the language of Hebrew again. But they're still living in a state of unbelief, tied to religion, some of them. But it's happening. We can see the things coming together. We can see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, as it were, as the symbolism goes. and these things are coming to pass. And Daniel is overwhelmed by it. He needs to be strengthened. He needs to be strengthened just to hear what God has got to say to him. And the Lord's there to help. And again he's touched and strengthened. Again he gets the encouragement, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Verse 19, peace be unto you, be strong. When he'd been strengthened, he said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You know, sometimes we need to be strong. Maybe you thought tonight you need to be strengthened a bit to listen to 40 minutes worth. And the Lord will, because God wants us to understand his word. God said to Daniel, didn't understand the vision. You know what's happening in national events today? What's happening in Greece at the moment? What's happening in Libya? What's happening in Syria? What's happening in all these countries around the world? What's happening in Britain? What's happening in Europe? There are spiritual powers at work. There are angelic forces at work. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers of darkness of this world. They're at work in this world today. Kingdoms rising, kingdoms falling. There are evil powers at work in these nations. I mean, Satan is referred to in the Bible as the God of this world. But I want you to know tonight that the Lord our God is the sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever there's going on only happens as God allows it to happen. If there are angelic powers at work, evil angelic powers, they're only pawns in the game. God is in control. Stay in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. This was three times given to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4 and verse 17. Verse 17 says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Nebuchadnezzar received the bad news that he was going to go mad for 7 years, would be like an animal. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. God is the sovereign Lord and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basis of men. In verse 25, it says, they shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. And in verse 32, it says, again, same sort of thing, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. Threefold declaration. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. It may seem that principalities and powers and the rulers of the spiritual darkness of this world are driving nations this way and that, up and down, but in the end, God is in control. Amen. He's the sovereign Lord. And the Lord says to Daniel, I'm going now, I'm going to return to fight with the prince of Persia. The Persian Empire will come to an end. And when I'm gone, the prince of Grecia shall come. Another agency at work. But, you know, the Lord's in control, says the prince of Grecia will come. Because the Lord allows it. It's all in keeping with the prophecies that have gone before. That after the Babylonians it was the Medes and Persians, after the Medes and Persians the Greek Empire, and so on. Verse 21 says, but I will show you that which is noted in the Scripture of Truth. Where's the Lord going to get this out of the Scripture of Truth? Well, Psalm 119 and verse 89 says this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The word of God, we have it here in our Bible, but the word of God was forever settled in heaven before ever a word was written here on earth. And out of that Scripture of Truth, the Lord was going to reveal things which had not yet been written down. God was going to reveal the purposes of God concerning his people to Daniel. And there's none that stands with me or holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. There might be evil angels, fallen angels, operating in the past, in Persia, in Greece and so on. But Michael, the archangel, watches over the people of Israel, the people of God. God's purposes will be fulfilled. You know, Satan doesn't like Israel. You might have noticed that in the news. Every nation around Israel wants to see Israel ended. Or as Nasser said, you know, years ago, 1950s Egypt, he would not rest until he'd seen all of Israel pushed into the sea. Satan hates Israel. But there's one to stand up. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord reminds Daniel in chapter 11 and verse 1, also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, he was the king that came with the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire, he was the one that came. He said, I was with him. I stood to confirm and strengthen him. Evil powers might be at work, but I set up kings, I take down kings. Praise the Lord. Kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall. Men refuse to heed God's call, but the word of the Lord endures forevermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Join us again on Thursday night for our prayer time. For now, we pray again tonight for a speedy end to this virus problem, Lord. We pray that you would bring its course to a speedy end in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.